Hey everyone, welcome back to the Moving Ahead podcast. I forgot again. I always forget because I had it named something else and I changed it midway, and yeah, it's hard to remember. I got a lot going on. But tonight, we have the specialist of all special guests. Today, tonight, whatever. My wonderful wife, Christine, is joining us.
Hello.
On the podcast. Hi.
Hi.
So you're the co-host of the other world-famous podcast known as the Uprooted Podcast, right?
Correct.
What do you do on that podcast? Like add some humor, sprinkle some in there and keep everything on track because I suck, right?
I guess I carry the show.
I guess if there's anyone out there that didn't know that I host that show too. I just wanted to have you on to talk about something very specific to us that we've done a couple times throughout our life. And I thought you would be the perfect person to share about opportunity and when it knocks and whether you open that door or not.
Okay.
So the first thing that came to mind when I thought about this topic for this episode was way back in, help me with the dates here, 2010.
Do you want to tell me what we're talking about? Maybe I can help you with the dates.
Good. I like this. This is off to a good start. Yes. We are going to talk about when you got laid off from your first teaching job.
Yes. That would be 2010.
Okay. And let's rewind to even further back, 2008, when you got that job, right? It was in the Adelanto School District.
Right. Yeah.
Which, for our non-California listeners here, that is, it's the land of infinite possibilities or something, right? What is it called?
Yeah, something like that.
Anyway, it's a high desert town. It's like a stop along, I don't know, en route to something better. It's between like crap and more crap.
And you always said it's where you go when you're running from the law.
Yeah, there was a lot of people running from the law out there, but it's not like an ideal place for a young, brand new female teacher, right?
No.
Do you want to tell a little bit about that environment and what it was like? I mean, you took a dirt road to the school. Correct?
Right. Well, so I think it's important to first point out, this is my first year teaching. I hadn't even taken one teaching course at this point in my career.
Well, like credential type course, right?
I had a bachelor's degree, but that was in liberal studies. So
yeah,
it wasn't exactly teacher oriented. So I hadn't taken one course yet on actual classroom management or diversity, anything like that, that now I do know because I did take classes.
Right. And for the people that don't know this, back then you could get like an emergency credential and not even be anywhere near done with your studies when it comes to what you need to teach school-wise on paper.
Right.
You could just go pass a couple tests and bing, bang, boom, you're a teacher. Just like that.
Right. So without even having one moment of classroom experience, I started there at, didn't I start at 52,000?
I don't even remember, but it was pretty good for that
time. I think I started at 52,000 mm-hmm. and it took me, what, 4 or 5 years to get back to that once I left?
Yeah, we'll get into that opportunity.
We'll get into that in a moment. But anyway, yeah, so I was hired for a brand new school in an area that was a little bit more affluent than others.
Oh, you know what? I completely forgot about that school. I'm glad you brought that up. I was thinking more of the second school that was off the dirt road. I forgot your original job was at that other school.
Anyway, yeah. So I was hired for a nicer school first. I was hired to teach second grade mm-hmm. at that nicer school, and I was super excited. I thought, little kids, great. It's awesome.
And I remember it was a pretty nice school. It wasn't bad. It wasn't terrible.
Right. And I started working. I set up my classroom. I got my children. I had them for about, I think, 2 or 3 weeks when the principal came to me and said, we're splitting classes because we've got too many third graders. We're going to give you half second and half third graders. So I said, okay. So now not only have I not had one moment of teaching experience, I now have 2 grades to teach at one time.
Yeah.
So that was interesting. Long story short, just a few weeks after that, they moved me to a completely different school that was way out in like the sticks. And I just remember the first time driving to that school and I went down that dirt road and I literally sat in the, I mean, it was not a parking lot. It was just a dirt lot.
Right.
Just crying my eyes out.
Yeah.
Because the school was so old. There was not a road to it. I mean, there's like shacks along the highway on your way to get there. It was crazy.
Yeah, I encourage everyone listening, if you're not familiar with Adelanto, look it up. It's spelled just like it sounds. It is, I don't have the words to describe it without being offensive to anyone that may live out there and listen, which I doubt is anyone. I'm not sure they have internet or computers there.
I think it's built up now. I think it's more populated now, but back then it absolutely was not.
Right, and we were freshly married, so again, sticking with the theme of this episode, we had to take whatever opportunities presented themselves at the time, whether it was a promotion that maybe had a sketchy shift for me as far as nights and weekends or whatever, which I've talked about before on previous episodes when I went into management at Disneyland, that it wasn't ideal shift-wise, but it's an opportunity that was there and I had to take it in order to advance myself. And you, studying to be a teacher, again, we're newly married, we need the money, all that stuff. You kind of couldn't turn it down regardless of right. where it was.
Well, I didn't know, to be honest with you, when I went to the job fair, I didn't know that that's kind of what I was getting myself into.
Well, and that's a good point, because you, from South Orange County,
mm-hmm.
very new, nice, wealthy area. Me, from Rancho Cucamonga, I was familiar with Adelanto because my dad used to race motocross there, and I had passed through on the way to Mammoth. That should tell you everything you need to know about that town. Motocross track and pass through town where you maybe, if it's in the middle of the day, stop to get gas and maybe some food on the way to something better, like I said. So you had no idea. Had you even heard of the town before?
No, I had no idea. Absolutely zero idea.
Right. So you're thrown into this job and you stay there a couple years, right? But then the housing crisis of 2008 and the recession and all those things that we're kind of living in now, unfortunately, as well, or will be soon, happened all at once and you got laid off, right?
I did. Mm-hmm.
And so what did we do about that? Do you remember?
Well, I had already had such a terrible experience in that district. I was not thrilled after, you know, moving a brand new teacher halfway through the year and giving them, I mean, during one school year, I taught three different grade levels at two different schools.
Yeah.
So I wasn't happy with it. And when the superintendent told me that I could be on the sub list and the chances were I would get a job next year, but they didn't know where it was going to be, what grade I was going to teach, if it was going to be high school or elementary school. We had no idea. I just didn't think that was going to work with a brand new baby.
Yeah. And that district, I mean, high school in that district could have potentially been pretty rough.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I remember that well. And we kind of had a family meeting, the two of us, and mm-hmm. said, well, what are we going to do? And again, the theme of this podcast is all about kind of shifting your mindset and thinking about the next opportunity and how to make the best of your situation, I guess, and move yourself ahead, hence the name. And so we sat down and you said, you know what, here's all the cons. I don't really want to go back there. I'm going to do something drastic. And you did what?
Well, we decided to move closer to my parents because my mom was watching the baby
right.
a few days a week. And it was closer to your job, which was at Disneyland at that point in time.
Right.
So it was different, you know, different freeways, different traffic patterns mm-hmm. kind of thing. So we decided to sell the condo that we owned at that point in time.
To
rent
yeah.
A home down there and just kind of grip it and rip it and hope I find a job.
Right, which you did. Because
eventually, yes.
You have great mad skills, as the kids say, in the teaching. And you had ambition and you went out there and you rocked that interview at the Catholic school, Sarah Catholic School, right?
I did.
And you stayed there for many years and really did well there and excelled there.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you mentioned in the beginning that the pay wasn't right on board. But again, going with the theme of this show is sometimes you have to take that step back or that momentary pause monetarily. How many different ways can I say this? To really advance or do something you want to do, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, the money that I lost was not even close to the benefits I got being in a school where I was appreciated. I wasn't moved around like crazy. I had a great team. The kids were, you know, a little bit better behaved, had a little bit more, you know, emotional support at home. So yes, I took a huge pay cut, but the benefits of that were important. So it was important to weigh what was going to be taken away as opposed to what was going to be given in return. So
right. And I think the message here is sometimes you need to do what is a perceived sacrifice for ultimately something better in the end, even if it takes a couple years to get there, right? It, for you, it happened immediately. This is a better school environment. Like you said, you're appreciated, better parents, better involvement, all that stuff.
Right.
Better budget, better money. So you take a little bit of a pay cut or a lot of a pay cut.
Right.
But that environment was something that's much better for you and shaped you as the teacher you are today and really helped you. I think if you would have stayed at that other school, you start going down that public school mindset, which, you know, can or can't be good depending on where you're at, right? And in that particular school with low budget, bad parent involvement, all that, you kind of get some jaded teachers,
right,
that are not happy. And that's infectious. That attitude can wear off on you. And the next thing you know, you're one of those teachers that everybody in the news likes to shame and talk bad about that's just union protected and showing up for a paycheck.
Exactly.
You got to go pursue your passion, be with passionate professionals around you in a much better environment. So it was worth it.
Absolutely.
So I think that's the message, is sometimes when that opportunity knocks, it's disguised as maybe not an opportunity. Everyone thinks this opportunity is the next best, bigger thing. But it doesn't always appear that way. Take, for example, us and me and my job. I left something very comfortable, something that I knew that had job security, all those things at Disneyland, and picked up and moved across country. Was it for more money? Yes. Was it a better opportunity to advance myself? Yes. But still a lot of things to weigh there that are potentially negative, like moving away from our family, starting new in a new place. What if we fail? What if we don't make it? What if I lose that job? All those things that you have to weigh and figure out, is this opportunity really worth it? And should I open the door when it knocks? Right?
Right.
So today, for me, I accepted a call from someone who saw my LinkedIn profile and wanted to talk to me and just get to know me about my security background. Potentially an opportunity, right? I'll be careful how I say this because people that I currently work with might hear this, and I'm not looking actively for opportunities. I love my job. It's just my job has hit the pause button for five months. And I don't know if it's ever going to unpause itself for me. It might. I mean, like I said, and I have said before, I haven't been officially laid off, but I don't want to collect unemployment forever. I want to work. I want to go back to work. And I don't know how long this is going to take.
Exactly.
So when an opportunity presents itself, you should absolutely entertain it and learn about it, talk to people about it. And plus, at the end of the day, this person I talked to, could it be an opportunity? Who knows? It doesn't exist in Boston. We're happy here in Massachusetts. We don't necessarily want to move to where these opportunities may exist. But now I have a new contact in the industry. I have someone who knows about me and what I can do. Who knows if this guy is going to branch off one day and start his own company? Who knows if he wants to persuade his company to start a Boston area branch and have me run it? Who knows, right? So why wouldn't you take that phone call? You know what I'm saying?
I think a lot of people would say, oh no, I'm really happy in the spot that I'm in. And that's fine. It doesn't hurt anything just to talk to someone. You know, so if it's going to be to your benefit, maybe.
Why not? If you're smart, you do your research about the company and the person and all that. And I did. And I saw that they have no presence in the Northeast. So if this person's calling to offer me a job, and you and I even talked yesterday about what if it's $200,000, but we want you to move to Phoenix or Florida. Do we want to do that? Do we want to move the kids? And we didn't give it a lot of thought. We had no idea what this call was going to be about. So we're not counting our chickens by any means. But we had a conversation. We said, you know what? We're actually happy here in our house. We don't want to move the kids again. So talk to them, find out what's going on, but approach it differently, which I did. And I think the message I really want to drive home here is that opportunity presents itself in a lot of different ways. The last episode, we talked about perception and how you look at things and how you change your mindset based on what's presented in front of you and your preconceived notions about what may be presented in front of you. Don't judge a book by its cover when it comes to opportunity.
Right.
Sometimes you have to take that crappy job at the crappy school that's in the crappy town, like you did, in order to get your start, or it's what you need to do now. And sometimes you need to say, you know what? I probably could stay there. I'll probably get my job back. You had some friends that got their job back there.
I did, but they ended up teaching middle school instead of when they were teaching third grade. now they're teaching middle school 1 year, and then the next year they were teaching sixth grade.
Right.
And it every year you'd have to pack up your classroom. You never know what you're going to do the next year. It's a whole brand new curriculum to learn if it's a new grade. It didn't seem worth it to me.
Right. And while there is some uncertainty around that, where you're going, what grade you're teaching, what school, whatever, they did have a constant, and that was a paycheck. That was something you said, you know what, I'm not worried about that right now. Obviously, we need money to get by and survive. We have a new baby or whatever, but I'm going to take a chance. And that's what I really like to talk about in this podcast. Every episode is about taking those chances, because we did. We've lived it several times. And at the end of the day, I think we've been pretty successful in the chances we've taken, right?
Right. Every chance we had was not without its hardship at some point. But I think they were good jumping off points to get us to where we want to be, I think.
Yeah.
Right? And you're staring at me like...
No, I'm with you. I hear you. Sometimes I just stare at you because you're so dang good looking. That's why I married you.
Okay.
Wait, that's for our other show. We shouldn't get into that.
You know, we should talk about that, because that was an opportunity you could have lost. I took the opportunity because I saw it going away.
What, me?
And I'm sure glad I did.
Are you talking about that time you gave me your phone number?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're right. You did. And back then, and I'm really glad you brought that up, actually. And I was trying to think as you said it, how does this apply to this podcast?
Mm-hmm.
But it's because I was a very different person back then. Thanks to you and your mindset and your positivity in my life, and some of the people I've surrounded myself with over the years have changed the way I look at things. If that same scenario were to happen today, and I had someone in my life like you guiding me, and some of the mentors and friends that I've had along the way since then, I would have jumped at the opportunity and given you my phone number now.
Right.
But back then I was a little different.
Yes, you were.
I had a very negative outlook on life and how I perceived everything around me. Opportunities, all those things. I didn't see the opportunity of you right in front of me. You had to do it. So the theme for today is we're talking about opportunities. Make sure you really take a hard look at them, both sides of what may present itself as an opportunity. The old cliche about opportunity knocks, yes, it does. These days, in this day and age, we're a little hesitant to open the door for anything. A stranger at your actual door selling you something that might be good or life-changing. We screen our calls, all those things. We're very protective and reserved as a society. But when a potential opportunity comes your way through LinkedIn or through work or through a friend or through a contact, don't be afraid. Study it, look at both sides, and then take the call. Take the call and see what happens, because it could be life-changing. Moving to Massachusetts, life-changing. We're still up in the air whether it's going to be good life-changing or bad life-changing, thanks to hashtag stupid COVID, but here we are, and we're figuring it out. We're making it through.
Yep.
Right. So that's it for this week. We still keep these kind of short. They're a little longer. That was like 19 minutes, maybe 20 by the time we're done with this. But thanks for coming on. Is there anything else you'd like to share about your experience with opportunities that have come your way in life or work?
I think the best advice I have is that you need to think about you and what's best for you and your family. Don't worry about what other people are going to think about you. Don't worry about how it's going to affect other people. Worry about your unit. Take care of yourself.
That's great advice. When you say your unit, that even applies to your family or extended family.
Right.
Our extended family, initially not thrilled about us moving 3,000 miles away, but at the end of the day, it has to do with us and what's right for our family unit, because
yes,
that's what it's going to be in the end, mm-hmm. ultimately. So great advice. Thanks for coming on. I appreciate you being my guest in a pinch.
You're welcome.
No prep, no nothing. You just jumped right in and said, I'll be your guest. I love it. I love that.
It was an opportunity that I couldn't miss.
On that note, I just have to shut it down. I can't do any better than that. So thanks for tuning in. Wear your mask. Be safe out there. Drive slow. Say hi to your mom. Call your mom. All the advice, all the good things. And when opportunity knocks, answer the door. Cheers.